You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus and USA Today's BearsWire.com. And we're here once again to bring you a little bit of Chicago Bears talk to help you get through the offseason. Today, we're continuing our early preview here of the Chicago Bears 2018 schedule just to try and get a look at where exactly the Bears kind of fall when it comes to the teams that they're going to face in 2018. We skipped week one and the Green Bay Packers because the Bears play the Packers twice, and I'd rather kind of circle around back to them when they play in their Week 15 game and kind of get them later on in the schedule. And I wanted to dive in with a little bit of a wider look around the NFL. So we started with the Seattle Seahawks and Spike Friedman from Locked On Seahawks. Then we talked to Seth Cox from Revenge of the Birds about the Arizona Cardinals for the Week 3 game. And today we're looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for Week 4 with friend of the show, Trevor Sikkema. He was on last year to break down the Buccaneers before week one. And then he also joined us this past March, I believe, to break down the NFL draft. He's one of the co-hosts of Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On Podcast Network. But his day job, he covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers professionally. So, of course, he's the perfect guest to bring on here. But I'm really interested in this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, especially because I do see a lot of parallels to the Chicago Bears in terms of a team that has underachieved in recent seasons and had another strong offseason and seems to be trending in the right direction. Another one of these teams that can be sort of that sleeper playoff type pick, but facing a tough division as well, and, you know, a young quarterback and, you know, a lot of lingering question marks, but potential there that remains untapped. And so I'm kind of curious to see where exactly the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stand right now, because it'll be really interesting when we finally get through training camp, the preseason, when these two teams face. I think this is a perfect barometer type team for how the Bears are doing 4 weeks into the year. You know, I think Seattle is somewhat in a similar conversation because of their question marks and the issues that they're dealing with. But I think Seattle is a little bit more trending in the opposite direction, whereas the Buccaneers, in theory, are supposed to be a team on the rise like the Bears. So I'm curious how it's going to play out with them, because I think they're a team more so than a lot of others with such a large number of question marks, but also a lot of optimism and hope. You know, a lot of times the teams with the big question marks and red flags are the bottom of the league ones where you're like, oh man, well, they have to have this, 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 and this go right in order for them to have success this year. But the Buccaneers, it's a little bit of a different story. You're starting to see some pieces really come together there. Again, like the Chicago Bears, and I'm really hoping that our friend of the show here can help us get a feel for where this opponent will stand when the Bears face them in week four. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is friend of the show, Trevor Sikkema. He covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for Pewter Report, and he is one of the hosts of Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. That's T-R-E. Trevor, how is life with the shaved head now? How are you adjusting to it?
It's different. I'll say, people keep asking me if it feels any different. It doesn't feel as different as it does, like, when I walk by any mirror. It's just like, wow, who is that? You know, I was growing my hair out for over 2 years, and so it's quite a big change. It's quite a big change.
Yeah, for those who don't know, he was involved in and maybe I'll have you explain it, because I don't know a lot of the ins and outs of the charity thing, but it was you and some Buccaneers players and the GM. How did that all work?
Yeah, so the Buccaneers do a event called Cut for a Cure every year, and it's they partner up with the national organization to give money to pediatric cancer research, you know, for kids. And they do a lot of really great work with this singular charity. And, you know, a couple of the players were just going back and forth on Twitter, and of course I know them because I'm part of a credentialed media, so I get to be in the locker room with them, and I so I talked to them and the coaching staff and the front office quite a bit. And as they were kind of pushing out this event, one of my friends actually tweeted at Jason Light, the Bucks GM, and said, "Hey, how much for at Tampa Bay Trade to shave his head?" And Jason was like, "I'll donate $500." And then Bo Allen, the new defensive tackle for the Bucks, said, "Yeah, I'll match it because he knows who I am now." And so it just kind of went crazy from there. I ended up myself, just from me shaving my head, got, I think it was over $4,000 when it was all said and done. The Buccaneers raised $130,000, which is crazy. They had 75 the year before, and even that was a record. They did $130,000 this year, and so it was a lot of fun. It's weird not having hair, but it was such a great opportunity to be a very small part of, and something to say that I was involved in.
Yeah, it was a great cause too. So just a fun event all around. And it kind of seems like this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, they've been having fun this offseason. You know, they've made some of these changes, and you know, even as there were some question marks about Dirk Koetter last year when the team went 5-11, it seems like things are kind of at least trending back in a positive direction. Where do you kind of see the landscape of this team right now this offseason?
No, so I mean, like, to your point, Lavonte David, longtime linebacker for the Buccaneers, he even said at the end of minicamp, like, they're having a lot more fun, it seems like. Last year was kind of weird for the Buccaneers because they've been bad for a long time. I know that's no secret, but they had some big splash in free agency, did some good things in the draft. Obviously a young quarterback, Jameis Winston, who is still developing in his early years and is under his rookie contract. And you get some of the media calling them the sleepers of the season to make the playoffs, maybe even win the NFC South. And it was just a weird hype that was around them that they never kind of experienced. And you could tell that the team just straight up bought into it. They bought into the hype around them. They thought that they were going to be good. And as the season went on, they were not nearly as good as they thought that they were. So kind of, man, those last 2 months of the season, I can understand those players were not having a lot of fun. It was not a lot of fun being had in Tampa Bay, whether it was through the losses or even the win that they had at the end there. But this year, going into training camps, now I guess it does seem a little bit different. They've got a lot of new pieces in, and a lot of new important pieces that they made some splash in free agency. Obviously, a lot of new draft picks that they're excited about, guys last year who were drafted that are taking on starting roles now this year. And so it really just feels like, not that you want to overhype the team, because I don't think that's what they're looking for, but like you said, they're just having more fun. They're having more fun this season, especially here in the offseason at least, and that's good. I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to have a relaxed, focused group, and so it seems like so far so good. I know it's very early, but the players seem to be enjoying themselves, hyping each other up, having a lot of friendly but passionate competition between the offense and defense on both sides of the ball in practice, and that's the kind of stuff that you wanted to see that I didn't really see a lot of last year. So,
yeah, the description you gave just there, it sounds like you could replace the word Buccaneers with Bears and have a very similar sounding offseason. I think it's interesting to kind of see, you know, these two teams both finished fourth in their division, coming back to arguably the two toughest divisions in the NFL this year.
Right.
And both are getting some of that early potential playoff hype and excited about their changes and having fun, even though the Buccaneers don't have the coaching change. But I'm interested to see as we go along here if more of these types of parallels start to develop.
The Bears are definitely a team that I've looked at in the offseason as a team that could really – if they start clicking and, you know, they get all that family attitude, I guess, you know, really start having a lot of chemistry as a team, they've got the young guys, they've got the talent to really kind of sneak up on some people and not be a team that we saw kind of last year where it was like, okay, well, the Bears, this should be a guaranteed win. I'm going into this season. I know the Buccaneers play the Bears again. That's not a guaranteed win. I'm not even seeing it there. And so that's, you know, you definitely want that progress as a younger team.
Coming up next on Locked On Bears, we'll ask Trevor about the growth of the Buccaneers' defensive line, the weaknesses still lingering in the secondary, and we'll wrap up the show today taking a big picture look at where expectations for this team should lie in 2018. Well, let's talk about some of the progress the Buccaneers have made on that defensive line in particular. Seemed like that was kind of the big focus this offseason with Vita Vea coming in the first round. You mentioned, they signed Bo Allen. They also signed Mitch Unrein of the Chicago Bears, a defensive tackle that will be sorely missed on the defensive line. How long do you anticipate it to take for these guys to kind of group up? And I think I skipped Vinnie Curry coming over from the Eagles as well. How long – and Jason Pierre-Paul in a trade. I mean, geez.
Right.
How long is it going to take for that defensive line to come together? And I guess, how do you see it coming together?
Yeah, I was going to fill in the details for you. Don't worry. There were a lot of additions this year. But honestly, the addition that might mean the most for the Buccaneers on their defensive line is their new defensive line coach. They had Jay Hayes last year, and Jay Hayes is a longtime coach in the NFL. He's been kind of all over the place, had a decently long stint in Cincinnati before he came over to Tampa, and they fired him after this offseason and ended up hiring Brent Buckner, who is a former player who was the defensive line coach of the Arizona Cardinals for the last five seasons, something like that, and has never, no matter what's happened with the Cardinals defensive line, and I think from the moment that he got there, you can see the talent overall in the defensive line diminish year after year after year, just a little bit, just getting worse. And yet, I don't think he's had a season where his team has had less than, I think it's 35 sacks. It might be 30, but it's 35 sacks would be a world of a difference from what the Buccaneers finished with last year with 22. So, I mean, even that at its worst, they know that they're getting a coach that knows how to coach guys to get sacks. And you can already see it. I mean, he's getting in there, and whether it's Gerald McCoy, who's been around the block, who's known as one of the best defensive tackles in football, it's been his team. He's the face of the franchise. Whether it's been him or a guy who is a brand new rookie first-round pick in Vita Vea, Brenson Buckner ain't showing any mercy to these guys. Like, if they mess up, if they're not doing what they need to be doing, and if they're not doing it to the best of their ability, Buckner's all over him. He more than any other coach I think that I've ever seen, and I've only been doing this on the credentialed side for 2 years now, but more than any coach that I've ever been able to see up close, Brenson Buckner will not let you settle for anything less than your best. Whether you are an all-pro defensive tackle or you are just a key rotational guy who just needs to do his job, you're going to do your job to the best of the ability, whatever it is, and he's going to get it out of you. And so when you talk about a lot of new guys that they're bringing in, there's a good amount of chemistry and there's a good amount of time that I think it's going to take for those guys to gel. But I think the motivation and the fire that's going to be lit under them from their coach, Brenson Buckner, is actually going to accelerate a good amount of that chemistry. So I think you're going to see, I hope, just because I enjoy watching good football and I didn't get to see much of that in 2017, you're going to see a much more focused, passionate, and driven defensive line for the Buccaneers in 2018.
How is that affecting the offensive line? I mean, I know in practice, especially when pads aren't on you, it's hard to kind of get a feel for them. But I know they added Ryan Jensen this offseason to kind of bolster the center spot. And, I think Donovan Smith has kind of been an up-and-down kind of guy on the left side. But, Ali Marpet and Damar Dotson seem to be pretty solid on the right. How are you? Where's your confidence level in this offensive line, and how is this new defensive line affecting that?
So we can't really see that too much yet, not only because there isn't pads, but Dotson had a procedure that he had to get taken care of medically, which is going to put him out until at least kind of like the middle or the end of training camp-ish, I think. So he's not there practicing right now. Donovan Smith is on that left side. Marpet is left guard now instead of right guard or center, so he's kind of learning left guard a little bit. Ryan Jensen's getting adjusted to the new team. And then they've got Caleb Benenock, a guy that they drafted a couple years ago out of UCLA. Right now he's starting at that right guard spot. So it's kind of I wouldn't say that the defensive line is necessarily pushing the offensive line right now, just because we don't even know what the offensive line is going to look like come week one. I'm sure that they hope that it's going to be Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, Ryan Jensen, J.R. Sweezy, and then Damar Dotson. But Sweezy has yet to come back from his injury that he had. Damar Dotson, they're not getting him back for a while. And so you're kind of you've got a little bit of a makeshift offensive line to that point. But they're hoping, obviously, when they get to around weeks three or four of the preseason, that they have most of that offensive line out there. And yes, that defensive line is at that point pushing them to be better, because we found out the hard way last year is the media of people who hyped this Buccaneers team up, because we saw them go back and forth in practice. And when you're in practice, you're watching one team's offense versus one team's defense. You're like, oh, they're really pushing each other. They're really getting the best out of each other. And then they go ahead and play the Vikings in week two, and the Vikings just look like a team that was out of their league. So you go, oh, wow, the competition just wasn't even what we thought it was in training camp. So you really don't know until you get into the regular season, but you hope that these guys are obviously going to push each other to be as best as they can be, and you're going to find it out against some of the better teams.
So would you say then entering, you know, I mean, obviously there's question marks on the offensive line and a number of other positions, but entering training camp, entering preseason, entering regular season, do the most question marks or concerns maybe fall in that secondary just with some new faces in there with the second round picks and, you know, Vernon Hargreaves' kind of development? I mean, I guess, is secondary there, or if not, where's your biggest concern kind of lie with this team?
Yeah, I think it has to be. It's either the offensive line, depending on how they hold up, and then, you know, the secondary. I think that there's no doubt about that. And somebody said on Twitter a couple weeks ago, they were going over defensive lines and kind of the roster that was there. And one of them said, this is the least qualified secondary group in the NFL. And I kind of looked at it and I was like, I can't really argue with you. Not that they don't have the talent to be adequate or to be good, but in terms of like qualified, I mean, you're looking at Brent Grimes, who's about to be 35 years old, still playing at a high level, which is crazy. He's an alien. I don't understand how a 35 year old retains the athleticism that he has. So that's crazy. But then Vernon Hargreaves, who clearly has struggled as an outside cornerback in the NFL, much better as a slot player. So you wonder if that's just where they're going to stick him the whole time, which he's been doing well in practice as a slot guy. Then you've got Ryan Smith, who is a safety corner hybrid guy who they played on the outside because they didn't really have anybody else. He's a guy with a lot of straight line speed but not a lot of experience. Got burned quite a bit last year. And then rookies, MJ Stewart and Carlton Davis. So, and then, of course, you know, there's Chris Conte, who Chicago fans know well, and then Justin Evans, who's playing more of the free safety role. And so it's like there are names there. You could see where there could be success in that Buccaneer secondary. But in terms of being qualified, in terms of like bona fide talent, like, oh, we don't have to worry about this. Yeah, that's not a thing. They're going to need to kind of figure it out and figure it out quick, because the NFC South is not an easy division. And the opponents that they have to play outside of the division this year are rough. I mean, they got to go to Dallas. They got to play the Steelers on Monday night. They got to play the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Like, it is not an easy schedule for the Buccaneers this year.
Well, and that's sort of the what comes with doing this kind of thing in June, is we don't know exactly what it's going to look like on either side of the ball, but I appreciate the perspective there. And coming up next, we'll get Trevor's perspective on Jameis Winston's development as a quarterback, and we'll find out why he could be on the same sort of path as Jay Cutler. One last thing before we start to wrap up here. What are your general expectations from Jameis Winston? Is, you know, he's still only, what, like 24?
And 24.
And, you know, he's had the same system now for a number of years and was hurt a little bit last year. You know, we've already seen him as a 4,000-yard type quarterback and, you know, 28 touchdowns back in 2016, still a little bit higher on the interception numbers. But is he nearing a point of plateauing a little bit, or do you still expect to see steps in a positive direction? And I guess what does growth for Jameis Winston look like in 2018?
I think I wrote a piece about this week, actually, because Jameis Winston is a gunslinger quarterback. He was that at Florida State. He was that coming out in the draft, and he's been that during his time at Tampa Bay. And so that's, you've got to understand that this is the type of quarterback you're getting. You're getting a gunslinger kind of quarterback. And with that, are going to come some turnovers here and there, but as long as you throw enough touchdowns, that's okay. I mean, you can look at those kind of statistics for people like Brett Favre and people for like Ben Roethlisberger. Those guys are comp to Jameis Winston quite often. Those are guys who still threw a lot of interceptions, but they threw more touchdowns, so it didn't matter. They threw enough touchdowns to where it really didn't matter, and you could totally live with it. So Winston has gone up in his efficiency every single year, which is good. You definitely want to see that. And you wonder if, you know, coming into this fourth year, having the weapons that he does on offense with Cam Brate, O.J. Howard, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, Adam Humphries, Chris Godwin, you know, there are so many quarterbacks around the league who would kill for that kind of a cast, and Jameis has it. So it is time for him to start putting up numbers like Matt Stafford normally does. And what that I mean by that is about 25 to 35 touchdowns a year and about 8 to 12 interceptions a year. And that has been Matt Stafford's narrative really for the last 3 or 4 years. And those are the numbers that Winston has to hit. He's allowed to throw the interceptions the way he does because of his gunslinger mentality. And that's totally fine. And you know what? You're never going to coach that out of him. That's okay. You've instead got to coach him to make sure that he scores enough to where it matters. And so are we going to see that? I'm not sure, because I'm not sure really how much I trust Dirk Cutter's offense. I certainly didn't trust it after last year. I looked at so many of the things that they just would not run with nearly enough regularity to make things simplistic enough for Jameis Winston and not make things so vertical. I understand that Cutter's trying to stretch the field with some of his weapons, and Cutter likes to run a vertical offense anyways, but you look around the league in the NFL and they're running different kinds of packages that, yeah, sure, you want to stretch the field, but you got to set it up first. And I don't think the Bucs did a good job of game playing the things that they needed to last year. So it's really going to come down to, will Cutter kind of change the offense around a little bit to allow Jameis Winston to grow into the quarterback where he can score enough touchdowns to make up for those interceptions? Because if not, we're going to be having the same conversation about Jameis Winston for a long time. And really, this is kind of the year that he's got to get over the hump, because all great gunslingers in NFL history have, by at least year three or four, shown you that like crazy good year. And Winston hasn't had it yet. And I understand he was hurt last year. Okay, I get it. But then that means this is the year. He's got to put it together this year. We've got to see something, or else he might just be a risk-reward guy who leans too much towards the risk more than he has the reward.
So he's kind of teetering on the Jay Cutler line right now.
A little bit, man. Yeah, and I know people hearing this might kind of freak out about that, but there's no question about it. Winston's got to teeter in the other direction, no doubt.
Well, so when we take a big picture look here at the Buccaneers, you know, 5-11 last year, 9-7 the year before that, with higher expectations. Where are you kind of? I mean, I don't need an exact win loss prediction, but are you feeling a borderline wild card push type team, or your expectations a little lower, or where do you stand?
The talent on this team can compete for a playoff spot, no question, no question about it. The talent on this team is worthy of a playoff spot, whether it's winning a division or a wild card, and I'm serious about that. But it's the coaching staff that's going to kind of make the difference. I think that they certainly showed that. There were tendencies that they had, game plans, a little bit of stubbornness here and there on both sides of the ball that really came back to bite them for almost all of 2017. And it really is a, hey, we have to wait and just see how this plays out with the coaching staff, because I think the Buccaneers have the most difficult schedule in the NFL going into 2018 with who they play, where they play, and the division that they play in. So it's hard for me to say that they like a definitive win or loss or a definitive, like they can make the playoffs, but the talent on the team is there. The talent on the team is there for them to play playoff football if things come together, but it's all about the coaching staff. It really is. They've got to be able to get it done. They've got to be able to come up with the right kind of concepts, game plans week in and week out for them to best some really tough opponents. And you know what? They're going to be underdogs in a lot of the games that they're just straight up going to need to win if they want to make the playoffs. And they put themselves in a decent position with a roster on paper. Now the coaching staff's got to go and get it done.
And one last thing. Do you think Dirk Cutter is coaching for his job in some sense?
No question. No question about it. If they finish anything worse than 9-7, I think he gets fired. I think almost the entire coaching staff gets fired if they finish anything but 9-7. You just can't waste time. There's too many rookies that they have and too much foundation they're trying to lay. Jerome McCoy's not getting any younger. Lavonte David's not getting any younger. They've got to get somebody in there that knows how to get it done. So if Cutter finishes anything worse than 9-7, I think he's gone.
Well, there you have it. Trevor Sikkema, he is a Tampa Bay Bucks beat reporter for Pewter Report and one of the hosts of Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow him again on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. Trevor, thanks so much. That was excellent Tampa Bay Buccaneers analysis.
Yeah, Lauren, thanks for having me, man.
Thanks again to Trevor Sikkema for joining us again on the podcast. If you want to hear more of Trevor Sikkema, of course, check out Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On Podcast Network. But if you enjoyed our conversation today, make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast listening app it is that you choose to use. Obviously, you're listening right now. We're on there. We're on a lot of apps. You know, the new Google Podcasts app just dropped, and we're already clicking on there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, you name it. Locked On Bears is there for you to consume more Chicago Bears content. We're going to keep chugging away at these early season schedule preview type podcasts, but I'm going to try and mix in some more deep Bears content, especially as we get closer to training camp. I think it's a good way to stretch our legs a little bit and look around the league to kind of compare the Bears to a lot of the teams they're playing. But I know it's not necessarily always everyone's cup of tea to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and so much. And, you know, we still get Bears talk in there, but we'll try and mix in a couple episodes here of more strict Chicago Bears analysis. I've got a couple things guest-wise potentially here in the pipeline that could be a lot of fun, but not ready to make any promises just yet on what that might look like. But just know, if for some reason you're not the biggest fan of our early regular season schedule preview here, first of all, what's wrong with you? But second of all, it's okay. There'll be more Bears talk coming soon. And like we try and do every time, we're still talking about the Chicago Bears, and it's an important measuring stick, because you can get too caught up in sort of the Chicago hype and what's going on around here and getting so excited about this season. But this is the time of year when pretty much every roster feels like they're okay for the playoffs, that this is going to be their year. And obviously, it's not everybody's year, so it's kind of interesting to see where exactly other teams are falling on the confidence scale, especially with all the positivity coming out of Bears minicamp and OTAs these past few weeks here. So as we get through this lull time before training camp, I hope you'll keep it locked on Locked On Bears and keep finding new ways to bear down.